This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Think the last time I wore these jeans, I was just a kid, about 23, with a busted heart, lonely eyes, and a fear I tried to hide. Today I found them in my drawer. Would you believe they fit just like before? So I threw them on and I wondered if I'd set that girl aside. Take me down to the Table Rock. I just wanna ride beside you for a while. Hold my hand and we'll dance to the band and pretend that we're not all grown up tonight. Maybe we can leave our clothes up on the dock, down at the Table Rock. Sometimes I wish you knew me when, for life got to me then, drew all these lines upon my face. But I was about half crazy when I was young. If I'd have met you then, I'd have made you run. So maybe fate did me a favor, this bit of tarnished grace. Take me down to the Table Rock. I just wanna ride beside you for a while. Hold my hand and we'll dance to the band and pretend that we're not all grown up tonight. Find a cheap motel and stay up past 10 o'clock down at the Table Rock. So, so sad and serious back when life should have just been fun. Now these years have given me what my youth could not have done. The freedom to can leave our clothes up on the dock, down at the Table Rock.
She's immersed herself in country music, folk music, honky-tonk music, all the way from South Carolina, singer-songwriter, recording artist, Angela Easterling, here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
So glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You picked a great time to come to New England.
I know, I did. We're having floods, and I think the Ark is about to float by our house back home in South Carolina.
Oh, boy. The Arks are under construction in the South. Angela, you want to tell us a little bit about Table Rock? Is there a Table Rock?
There is a Table Rock. It's a beautiful state park that's about an hour away from where we live, kind of right on the North Carolina-South Carolina border. And you can go swimming there, and they go camping and all kind of stuff, lots of fun stuff. But I just like the name Table Rock, and I always thought that that would be a really cool thing to work into a song or even as a title for a song. So that's kind of how I came up with that being this sort of place where we're heading in the song. But the inspiration from that song came from looking at old pictures of myself from when I was in college and looking back and realizing how young I was then. I don't know why I felt so old. I was just a kid, but I felt so old and world-weary and just weighted down by everything. And it's funny, I think our society really idealizes youth. But I found for me, my life has gotten so much better as I've gotten older because I've gotten considerably more sane.
Well, let's talk about that, Angela. Your latest album is called Common Law Wife. It's the fifth album.
Yeah.
How has your music matured since album number one?
Well, I think just the ways that my life has matured. I'm a mother now and in a relationship, and I have a family. And when those things happen in your life, you know, as an artist, you can be really self-absorbed and just get really deep in your head and all into your own stuff. But then when you have a little person you have to take care of every day, it kind of takes you out of that. And I think for me, actually, that's been a really freeing thing. It's been like a freedom from my own ego, you know, to have this other person who needs me that I have to take care of. And so I think it's really kind of opened me up creatively to a lot of other ideas and a lot of other ways of writing.
Well, I know a lot, you know, some people are labeling your music country music. Mm-hmm. Is that how you saw yourself when you started out?
No, not at all. Even though I grew up in South Carolina, I never listened to country music, never, ever, growing up. And I didn't like it. You know, I associated it with hillbillies and hoedowns and stuff like that. And it was really funny. I actually grew up listening to, like, Broadway soundtracks and stuff like that. I always wanted to go to New York. And I decided to write songs because I was really into, like, folk music, like Joni Mitchell and the Indigo Girls and stuff like that. And I got my first guitar and I started writing songs, and people immediately said, "You sing country music." And I was like, "What are you talking about? I don't even like country music." But it was like this dormant gene that just came out of me, you know, when I started writing songs. They had that country influence in there. And so I said, "Well, let me start listening to some of this." So I'd always loved Johnny Cash. And but I had never really listened to anyone else. And I started out with Emmylou Harris. And I kind of delved into her albums and looked at all of the songwriters whose songs she was singing. Merle Haggard and Buck Owens and the Carter family and Hank Williams and all these people who I had never listened to before. And when I discovered that, this whole wealth of great music that I had never been aware of, I was like, okay, I am a country singer. But I have a really strong folk tradition in my music as well. I'm really, you know, I like to write about sometimes social issues and things like that. So I think I try to keep one foot in both genres, maybe.
This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guest is Angela Easterling here at NHPR. Want to play another tune for us, and we'll come back and get to know you just a little bit better.
Yeah. I'm going to play you guys a song that, this is a song I wrote about my family's farm, and we live on a farm that's been in our family since 1791, and it's still a working family farm. And this is about us trying to hold on to it in the face of a bunch of real estate development. It's called Blacktop Road. They got telephone poles where our trees had been. They ripped up our pasture, put a sidewalk in. Yeah, that big voice of progress that you've got to go. We're going to lay us a blacktop road. We're going to lay us a blacktop road. Well, they tore down the house my great-granddaddy built. When my grandpa was born and my mama took her first steps. Yeah, but nobody cared about the stories it told. The spot was just right for a blacktop road. It was a perfect spot for a blacktop road. Yeah, yeah, blacktop road, blacktop road. They're gonna lay them a blacktop road. Don't you try to complain, do as you're told. Get out of the way of that blacktop road. Flowers back when she was my age. They still bloom here every year, though she's gone to her grave. Well, they won't be here tomorrow, and that I know. They're gonna pave them right over with the blacktop road. Gonna cover them over, blacktop road. Yeah, yeah, blacktop road, blacktop road. They're gonna lay them a blacktop road. Don't you try to complain, do as you're told. Get out the way of that blacktop road. Get out the way of that blacktop road. Thank you.
blacktop rule. Now family names on that blacktop roll. Yeah, yeah, blacktop roll. Blacktop roll. They're gonna lay them a blacktop roll. Don't you try to complain. Do a short toll. Get out of the way of that blacktop roll. Blacktop roll. Blacktop roll. They're gonna lay them a blacktop roll. Don't you try to complain. Just do a short toll. Get out of the way of that blacktop roll. Get out of the way of that blacktop roll.
Angela Easterling here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. That tune, Blacktop Road, selected the Americana Pick of the Year by Smart Choice Music. The latest album, Common Law Wife, really addresses various themes. It's really across the board. There's a baseball song. There's a song about love or unrequited love, murder, even civil rights. So you really do kind of cross over into a lot of areas, do a lot of thinking when you're doing that songwriting. Huh?
Yeah, there's so many different things that interest me. I'm especially interested in history. And so when I find a particular story from history that you know, really strikes my imagination. I like to write about it. I read a lot, too. So I'm not really good at writing love songs or doing a whole album full of, you know, romantic love songs. I'm not really good at that. I have tried and tried and tried. But you know, even my most romantic love songs have a sense of loneliness or wistfulness to them that I don't know what it is, but the things that really fascinate me and interest me as far as songwriting, the things that inspire me are just all these different things that are kind of part of my world as I'm moving through it.
You having a good time? I know you've shared the stage with some really well-known people, you know, the Oak Ridge Boys, also Mary Gaucher, the Carolina yeah. Chocolate Drops, Lucinda Williams,
yeah,
really kind of across genres. You know.
Yeah, I've been really lucky to get to be on stage and perform in front of a lot of those folks. It's really amazing. And I think, you know, my music has that, it kind of has a little, like I said, it has a little bit of the folk, it has a little bit of country. If we're doing the full band, it, you know, it might rock out a little bit too.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the album because, you know, it's
Common Law Wife, we actually recorded the whole album in Nashville at Middle Tree Studio, which is Joe Passapia's place. A lot of great folks have worked there. Katie Lang, mm-hmm. Drew Holcomb's new album was there. Joe's wonderful, and he engineered it. He co-produced it with Brandon Turner, my partner, and he also played pedal steel and a few other instruments on there. He's got a beautiful space, and we did it very quickly, I think in less than 8 days, wow. I think, for the whole thing.
8 days time to record something that probably took you quite a while to actually compose, right?
Right. Most of the songs were written over the course of 2013, mm-hmm. I think. Most of the songs are, there are a few songs that predate that, but most of them were written that year. But yeah, when you go in the studio, when you're an indie artist and you go in the studio and you have a limited budget to work with, you kind of have to go in there and get it done.
Sure, you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah, so Brandon and I really workshopped all the songs at home, and we had a longer list that we kind of tried to narrow down, and we actually recorded 13 songs and put 12 of them on the album, but we had a much longer list that we had to kind of narrow down before we even went in there and, you know, tried to come up with the idea of how we wanted to approach it, you know, have a bit of a game plan. But you also want to be open to the magic that can happen in the studio, because sometimes you bring in a great musician. I had some great folks that came in and played on this, Will Kimbrough, Fats Kaplan and Dave Jakes, who plays bass with John Prine, and Paul Griffith, who plays drums with everybody, including Jason Isbell and Elizabeth Cook. You know, when you have a great musician of that caliber coming in, you know, you kind of have to leave it open to, you know, see the magic that they might bring to the table, and they certainly did.
It's not about formula.
Right, yeah. Right. No, it's not. No. You know, it's good, like I said, it's good to know the song backwards and forwards and have a game plan, but you kind of have to be open to that. And One way we approached this album differently is that we really wanted to have a more stripped down approach. Sometimes I like to go in the studio and just put everything on, you know, when you're in Nashville, there's so many great players.
Sure.
It's like, let's put an accordion and let's do, you know, let's put a viola and put our everything in the kitchen sink on there. And one thing Brandon really encouraged me was to really kind of keep it stripped down to a certain degree so that it does sound reflective of what we sound like live when we're playing as a duo or with our band or even solo. You know, just try to keep it to where it really sounds like me.
This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Singer-songwriter, recording artist Angela Easterling is our guest. Her new album is Common Law Wife. It's her fifth release. We're going to hear some more music from Angela in just a moment after a short break here at NHPR.
Morning Edition is.
The U.S. Postal Service has just unveiled 5 new stamps depicting the paintings and drawings of Martin Ramirez. An immigrant from Mexico, Ramirez was a...
It's also the place you turn for...
Slope and aspect determine how much sunlight a given piece of land receives.
The landscape isn't equally endowed, and it's most evident this time of the year.
I'm Rick Gamble. Join me for Morning Edition, weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on NHPR and NHPR.org.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and from the Music Hall Loft of Portsmouth, presenting Cheryl Turkle, author of Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age, at 7 p.m. October 13th at the Loft. Tickets at themusichall.org. People's United Bank, with wealth management professionals offering consulting for qualified retirement plans at local branches or peoples.com. And New Hampshire School Administrators Association, representing school superintendents and administrators, championing the education of children every day. NHSAA.org. This is NHPR. You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guest in the studio is Angela Easterling. Can you play another tune for us?
Yeah, I'm going to do the title song on the new CD, Common Law Wife.
I swore I'd never marry hell, you heard it in my song. And if some feller caught me, well, it wouldn't be for long. Well, gal, somewhere along the way, I fell into the straw. And I found myself here wedded according to that common law. Now I'm a common law wife, living out my life. I ain't got no license, I'm a common law wife. Well, I was raised in church each Sunday, got a fine college degree. You'd think I'd learn my lesson about those birds and those bees. Well, imagine my surprise then when the stork came to my door. I thought he was at the wrong house with that old cart pushing horse. Now I'm a common law wife. Yes, this is my life. I ain't got no license. I'm a common law wife. Well, we wake up every morning when we hear that baby cry. Too busy changing diapers now for walking down the aisle. But I'm living with the only man who never broke my heart. I guess sometimes in the middle is a real good place to start. Yes, I'm a common law wife, happy with my life. I ain't got no license, I'm a common law wife. Yes, I'm a common law wife, happy with my life. I ain't got no license, I'm a common law wife.
That's a fun one, Angela.
Thank you.
Now, what did Vintage Guitar, what do you think they meant when they said if Steve Earle was reborn a girl, he'd very likely be Angela Easterling?
I don't really know what they meant, but I really do take that as a compliment. Steve Earle is certainly, you know, a wonderful, incredible songwriter. And maybe that he seems to write about a lot of different things too, like maybe the variety and the influences that come to bear on his music. Maybe that
very political.
Yeah, maybe that's what maybe that's what they were talking about, but I don't know, but I'll take it as a compliment.
Sure. Now, your trajectory, you know, has led you from, well, from Greenville or near Greenville, mm-hmm. South Carolina, to the Northeast here and all over. Is that what you expected when you started out writing like Joni Mitchell, listening to Joni Mitchell?
I just wanted to perform. I started out doing theater at such a young age, and when I got into college, I felt, you know, at the first part, I felt like I was waiting on an audition or for someone to call me for a part or something. And I just really wanted to be on stage and sing and perform because I love that so much. And so I thought, well, if I get a guitar and write my own songs, I can go down here to the coffee house and I can perform and I can write my own stories and I can share that. And so that's really why I started it. But the funny thing that I found was that I actually enjoyed the writing part just as much, if not more, than the performing part. The actual part of creating the song for me and then putting it out there and having people respond to it, that is really so fulfilling and for me, so much more fulfilling than performing a song that someone else wrote. When someone comes out to me at one of my shows and tells me that they played one of my songs at their wedding or you know, a song of mine really meant something to them because they had a child that passed away or something like that, you realize that you've really entered into someone's life and you know, a very personal way without even knowing them. And it's just a really wonderful feeling to know that I've created something that will be a part of someone's life, you know, forever.
You're getting the word out and people are hearing it.
Yeah, and it's you know, though I never get tired of that. I really don't. I mean, I want to write songs that will make people think and feel, think about something. You know, if I write a song about something in history they never heard of before, I hope they'll go home and Google it. And I always appreciate when they tell me that they have done that. They'll say, I've never heard of that, and now I'm going to look that up. That's really great. You know, that really means a lot to me. And so when I started writing, I didn't know, I wasn't expecting that. I just wanted to perform, and now I get to, and that's the greatest thing.
Is your partner a writer also?
No. Well, he writes music, but he doesn't. He has written some songs, in fact. I shouldn't say that. I recorded a song that he wrote on my last album, Beguiler, a beautiful song he wrote called The Fish and the Bird. So he does write some, but he doesn't really consider himself to be a songwriter. He considers himself more as a musician, and he's a fabulously creative and way, way more musically talented than I am. So we balance each other well in that respect.
I know you've been on the road for a while, uh-huh. And just about ready to head home.
Yeah.
And what next for you when you head home? You got a lot of shows booked in the South Carolina area?
Well, we'll be home just for about a week, and then we're going to California.
Okay.
And we'll be out. We're playing in Southern California and Northern California. I'll be out there for a little over a week, and then we're heading back home, and we'll be back up in the Northeast for the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance Conference in November. And after that, we've got a few shows around home, but we'll kind of be staying close to home. We've got another baby on the way that's due in February. So I'm going to kind of be winding things down here a little bit after about towards the end of December when I get too big to move around too good. I have to. It's funny, during my last pregnancy, I played up till about 7 or 7.5 months. And I just would stand up and play one song and then say, I've got to sit down. Just sit down and hold my guitar off to the side because I couldn't hold it in front of me anymore and reach it.
Boy, that's got to be hard. I can't imagine.
It's hard. The hardest thing is that it's hard to sing. And I'm actually already starting to get a little bit of that, too. It's like you can't get as much of a breath.
There's a lot of pressure on your
diaphragm.
As you're
used to. Mm-hmm. So trying to hold out a note or trying to hold out something as long as I'm used to being able to do, that is kind of rapidly fading, and I have to try to work in all these extra breaths into the song.
You got a lot to juggle. This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guest is Angela Easterling. How about another tune?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to do a song that I wrote about Isaac Woodard. He was a World War II soldier who was headed home in 1946, and he was pulled off a bus and beaten and blinded by the police. He still had on his uniform at the time. This is called Isaac Woodard's Eyes. He was in the uniform of Uncle Sam, just home from service in foreign land. Hitler was dead, but not that old Jim Crow. So to the back of the bus he had to go. And at a stop in a sleepy South Carolina town, the police chief and his boys came around, dragged that soldier out to the night, beat him till they'd robbed him of his sight. Now I think about that uniform he wore, mother's son out fighting in a war, saving other people from hateful tyranny, coming home to find that he still wasn't free. He threw him in the jail and took his pay. Didn't bring a doctor in for two whole days. 3 weeks had passed before his family knew horrible ordeal he had been through. That police chief still held his head up high, acquitted by a jury that was all white. Some sick way maybe he felt justified, his bitter hatred cloaked in a madman's shameful pride. Now I think about that uniform he wore, a vow to protect he violently ignored. They say that cop went on to live a long, long life. I pray he dreamed each night of Isaac Woodard's eyes. Mother's son out fighting in a war, helped defend his nation from a fearful enemy, and came back home to find that he still wasn't free. He came home to find that he still wasn't free.
Isaac Woodard's Eyes, a tune from Angela Easterling's latest album, Common Law Wife. In 2009, the Boston Herald named her song the picture Best Political Country Song in their 2009 Year's Best Music listing. So you have some cute songs like Common Law Wife, and you're also able to put in some stories that you feel look will touch people, and that may touch you as well. It's really nice.
Thank you. Yeah, that I learned about what had happened to Isaac Woodard about last June, and it just blew me away. I wanted to find out everything I could about that story. I had never heard of it, even though I grew up in South Carolina. I had never heard of it, and there's a lot of names through history in the civil rights movement that a lot of people know, and I really wish they would count Isaac Woodard in there, because what he went through was just so unjust. You know, he had served his country and he came home to that kind of treatment. And so many African-American veterans went through that. They might not have been blinded, but they were still horribly mistreated after serving their country faithfully. And it's just a great wrong that was done.
This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and it's a treat to have a visit from Angela Easterling all the way from South Carolina, where she lives on the family farm. That
yep.
farm's been in operation since the 1700s
mm-hmm.
and still working farm. What do you grow there? What do you have on your farm?
We have all organic grass-fed beef cattle. And my aunt also has a greenhouse business, and she grows plants and sells them at the local farmer's market. So if you're in town, if you're in Greenville, South Carolina, you can come out to the farmer's market and buy some stuff that was grown on our farm.
That's hard work.
Oh, yeah. I don't have anything to do with the farming mm-hmm. side of it. I just play my music and, mm-hmm. and I live there. But I'm so grateful to have that. And my son is actually the 10th generation of our family, my mom's family, to be on that land. And it just means so much to all of us to have something like that. So many people don't have that.
Your son is 2 years old.
He's 2 and a half, yep.
And what's baby number two? Do we know?
It's a boy.
Oh, another boy?
I'm
going to
have my hands full, yes.
You are going to have your hands full. And that is hard work, too.
Oh, I know. It is. It's hard, but it's actually, so far, knock on wood, it's been a whole lot easier than I thought. We've got a lot of help from our family. We've got a really big family, both Brandon and I. They pitch in. You know, I wouldn't be able to tour and go on the road if I was having to leave him with strangers or in daycare all day. But I know that he's staying with family members who love him and cherish him and take great care of him. But it's really fun. I mean, being a mom is fun. He's a fun little person. He likes to do stuff. He loves to come to our shows, and sometimes he'll even get up and sing.
The Kerrville Folk Festival, the Troubadour Folk, Telluride, those are some venues that have seen Angela Easterling, and she's going to be back in the Northeast, appearing at the Northeastern Regional Folk Alliance in mm-hmm. November. It's a real treat to have Angela here in the studio. Angela, what's next? I mean, I know it's hard to think in those terms when you've just produced an album, which is like another child. Right. So you just produced this album, Common Law Wife, and about to have a baby, maybe kick back just a little bit in February. But do you have any other long-term plans for your music and your writing?
Well, I've got tour dates that are booked into next year that I actually booked before I found out I had a baby on the way. So I'll be doing my best to fulfill all of those. Other than that, I probably won't be doing a whole lot of touring next year, not as much as I did this year. But I'll just get back to writing, and I'll have another CD out here one of these days.
She'll have another child on the way.
A CD child. Yeah.
This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Can
it
you play
really
another
fun.
One?
I'll be glad to. I'm gonna play the song that opens our CD up. It's called Hammer, and this was inspired by my grandfather, who was a really hard worker and built our house where we live. And everywhere I look, I see the work of his hands. And I wanted to write about that feeling of being inspired by someone that way. And I'd already started thinking about this song when Pete Seeger passed away. So I decided to try to write the song about both of these men. This is called Hammer. This land is haunted, this land has ghosts. I can hear them when the night winds blow. The unnamed who lived and died here left their bones beneath its soil. This land is haunted, this land has ghosts. This land's a mirror of our heart, the way we build it up and tear it all apart. Birthed us like a mother, and we use it from the start.
light. This land's a mirror of our heart. When the harvest comes in, when it's time for reaping, I will be there to celebrate the fruits of labor. When the winter sets down, while the world is sleeping, I will be there to remind you there is still work to be. Setting sun, this land's my father, it is my son. I sing the elder stories to the young, so they may find a breath of life in battles lost and won. This land's my father, it is my son. When the spring awakens and the snow becomes the rain, I will be there to sow the seed with all my neighbors. In the heat of summer, all its beauty and its pain, you will find me toiling underneath the blessed sun. Hammer in my hand till day is done. Hammer in my hand till day is done.
Angela Easterling here in the studio on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Her music has been celebrated by No Depression, by Vintage Guitar, a great review from Roger McGuinn. Pay attention to Angela Easterling. Her website is angelaeasterling.com, and you can find her on Facebook as well. We'll be looking forward to hearing more from you in the future, Angela.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on today. This was such a treat.
Thanks for stopping in.
My pleasure.
This is NHPR.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, our earlier conversation on homeschooling. The number of homeschooling families in New Hampshire and nationwide continues to grow, and they're more diverse, including those with a wider range of political, religious, and educational approaches. But even as this group expands, it's less regulated by the states, sparking debate over how much oversight is needed. Join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Green Mountain Express, November 6th through 8th, the Vermont weekend of live music on board a chartered train with Jimmy Dale Gilmore, Sid Straw, and friends, rootsontherails.com. And APD Hospital in Lebanon, offering hip, hand, knee, and other orthopedic care in a community-oriented setting, alicepeckday.org. And Vineyard Brands, importers of Marques de Caceres wines from the Rioja and Rueda regions of northern Spain, available at New Hampshire liquor outlets and at marquesdecaceres.com. This is NHPR.